So that second rock bottom was when Psalm 40 came through. You know, here I am in that dark, muddy pit, just sinking. And I'm crying out, and God reaches down and says, look up, child. And he sets me on solid ground. And from that day forward, I have been choosing to show up, dig in, and do the hard work every single day so I can continue rising up strong, because it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. But my husband and my kids loved me so much that they had enough fight for me as well, until I developed the strength to fight too. And, you know, out of the suicide attempt, you know, my husband gave his life to Christ. Man. So that is a beautiful thing. And when I read back in my journals, years upon years, I prayed for that. And here, this was the pivotal moment that brought him to Christ.
Let's go!
You are listening to the Heathfluence Podcast. And we're having candid and actionable conversations about your health, relationships, business, and ministry. And now here's your host, the Second Chance Coach for Men, Michael David Huey.
Welcome to another session of the Heathfluence Podcast. It's actually a sunny day here in Florida, and my guest is actually in Florida too. And so we get the privilege of, she's got a little bit better tan than I do, I'm just saying. but I'll just say this. I love doing podcasts, and I was just sharing with Melanie before we got on about that I believe that when you have the right people in the right place and right guests, it just works out the way it was supposed to work out, right? And so things go according to the way they're supposed to go, right? And so I met my guests today on Clubhouse. If you don't know about Clubhouse, get with it, right? Yeah. So, and I think that as you go through your journey on any social media platform, I'm publicly okay with saying it. I hate Facebook anymore. I'm just sick of the politics. And, you know, as I'll be honest, as a man of God and as my sister in Christ today is on here, I just feel like, you know, if you're a person of integrity and faith, that you kind of just get pushed aside. Yeah. And for me, that's one of the things I've really liked about Clubhouse, is that I can talk about God and I can talk about who I am. And I don't deviate from that. I believe that, if you really think about who you are and who you're hidden in, the rest just falls into place. The right people come into alignment with you. You know, as we were praying before we started, I said, you know, let your kingdom come, God. Let your will be done in our lives, and let us impact people for eternity. Let people not just go through a transformation, but go through a heart transformation where their heart is set on better things. And so I told Melanie, I really just do a brief introduction of my guest, and then I let them tell their story. And then we just kind of let the Lord lead us and guide us in what we say, because I want you guys to hear the person's heart, right? And Melanie's a woman of God, a transformational coach, and I like what she sent me. And I want to read this short phrase to you that she said, because I believe it's her heart, because she said that God put in her heart to start She'll Rise, SHLLRISE, right? So you guys can understand my little Florida twang a little bit. On her heart, and it's from her very own journey of triumph through her own struggles with anxiety, depression, trauma, and really being postured for obedience, that her organization that was founded was for this, for women to be free. And she needed to do this. She said, I needed to do the hard work, right? To end the cycle of running and hiding. Think about that. So that God could use her and what he did in her life to reach women who are struggling and failing and are in darkness and alone, right? And then she said, having struggled through trauma, sexual assault, eating disorders, opioid addictions, failed suicide attempts, she's now shifted her focus on creating a safe environment and place for women to heal and really rise up and be strong from the struggles that, you know, some of the things that she's experienced, she can help them walk through experiences. And we know, guys, if you're listening, we live in a world where people are broken and struggling. I was just at an event down in Marco Island, down towards Melanie's direction. One of the speakers was speaking on leadership. And she said, look, and it was a group of leaders, like six and seven figure earners in the room, and nutritionists and doctors and PhDs. And she said, if you could look in the mirror right now, you'd be able to see your brokenness, because we're all broken in one way, shape, or form. And our goal is to let God transform our heart out of that brokenness so that we can help other people who are struggling in that brokenness. And I think, you know, I laugh. I watch some of Melanie's little kind of like TikTok videos or whatever they are. And Instagram reels. And they're funny. Like, she's like, some of them are just funny. And that's what allows people to know that she's real, right? So I just want to welcome to the HeFluence podcast my new friend, Melanie Wilson. Welcome to the HeFluence podcast.
Thank you. Such an honor to be here. You know, it's exciting to listen to you speak, and you talk about, you know, how everyone is broken in some form or fashion. Like, there are no perfect people, right? But there are so many of us, and I used to fall under that category of people who only want you to see the good stuff. They want you to think that they are perfect, because what's behind that false facade of perfection is hurting and pain and failure and mistakes. And, you know, some people don't have the depth that I have, but it doesn't make their story any less valuable or impactful. And I think that's where we need to link arms and really embrace each other, because we have a responsibility to share our stories, because there are people, men and women, and my focus is, you know, primarily women, but I do work with couples, and I do have other male clients that are now beginning to sign on, just because of my mission, my core values, my story, my process, and mental illness doesn't discriminate. Like, it doesn't care who you are, how much money you make, what color your skin is, your gender, whether you're single, married, like, it doesn't care. So, you know, we really need to honor the gift of our pain and our struggles, because in that is where God's glory can shine. And when we share our stories, that's when we allow the truth that He is a keeper of promises to actually shine. And, you know, and I'm with a lot of people, you know, when you're in the darkness, it's like, God, where are you? Like, here, I'm struggling. Come fix this. Show up, do what you do. But you know what? God also gave us the gift of free will. And sometimes that's like a double-edged sword. Like, we have the option to make choices. And sometimes our choices do not get us where we need to be. And fortunately, there is grace for that, but grace can't become an excuse. And when I think about my story, my journey, and the struggles that I encountered along the way, there were so many times where I hid all of the truth because I feared what people would say, what people would think. And when I began, I was in the executive coaching industry. So, you know, working with really massive organizations, hospitals and universities and private practices and all of these things. And while I was in that, I felt as though I was carrying out my purpose, but I wasn't being authentic. I was hiding all of the parts of myself that God really needed me to show and to share. And I eventually hit a rock bottom. But before the rock bottom came, I kept feeling this very clear message of rise. Rise for Women, Rise for Women. So Rise for Women was born, and it started out because I could see how women didn't understand that their value didn't have anything to do with their appearance. They didn't understand that what they had to say mattered, that they were significant, they were important, that they had the power to influence change in environments. So that's how Rise came about. But what I noticed when I first started out with Rise, which ended up being a group, an organization, a tier off of my main umbrella, I was doing it for God, but I wasn't including Him in it. Like, I wasn't doing it with God. And I think that is such an important distinction to understand, because like He's leading me and I'm like, I'm doing it for you. But I wasn't doing it with Him. And eventually I got exhausted. And that's when the rock bottom hit. I just couldn't continue the way that I was anymore. So behind this facade of perfection was a young girl suffering from anxiety and depression. You know, I had been sexually assaulted by a physician, and carrying all of this with me was too much. And Michael, you know, being a child of God, being a man of God, like, we are meant to do life together. God created us to be in community. Amen. And that was one of the things that I was fighting, because I didn't want people to see the authentic version of me, because she was broken. I had back problems all of my life. So I was prescribed opioids on a regular basis. And all of a sudden, that became my way to cope. When I got really anxious, a handful of pills. When it was dark and overwhelming, a handful of pills. When it felt like it was too much that I could bear, a handful of pills. And that progressively got worse. And originally it started out with, you know, I can't sleep, let me take a Benadryl. Well, one Benadryl is not enough. So let me take melatonin and some Benadryl. Oh, well, let me wash that down with some cough syrup. So, you know, it starts with over-the-counter, easy access things, but then it's not enough. And the reason it isn't enough is because I'm not actually dealing with what's going on. And that's what God was pressing. He was like, you've got what I need to carry out the purpose I have for your life, but girl, you've got to do the work. And that's what I talk about, you know, with my mission is, you know, I am on a mission to reach every woman who is fed up, who is exhausted and is ready to flourish. Like, she wants to break the chains and flourish. And it's hard work. I went through it and it was awful. And I was kicking and screaming and I tried throwing in the towel, but God's like, not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, you know, I had to persevere, and it got to a point where the opioid addiction was so out of control. I had no idea, no idea. I thought I was functioning quite well. I mean, I was doing great in my business. And like I said, I would go up in front of, you know, a room full of doctors, nurses, therapists, and I would take a handful of pills before I would go on. And not once, Michael, not once did someone come up and say, hey, are you okay?
You had a problem?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Like, nobody saw
like
it.
Like a functioning alcoholic, right? Like, nobody even kind of knows, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, that was really painful for me to experience, because no one would see me, but then I also wouldn't allow anyone to see me. So, you know, here I am blocking God's glory. I am blocking the sweet sauce that He gave to me, this gift of my pain, my struggles, my story. And as a result, I exhausted myself. You know, it was a burnout, and then I had to hit a rock bottom. So my family ended up doing an intervention. And of course, you know, I'm like, everybody's full of it. Nobody knows what they're talking about.
How old were you then?
That was October 2015.
Okay.
So still very recent. Well, it's been 6 years now. That's crazy to think, 6 years now. So, and I had been using opioids since I was 15. That's when they started prescribing them. So that's a lot of years, right?
20 years.
A lot of years. Yeah.
20 years.
Yeah. A lot of years. So my husband invested a ton of money to send me to the best rehab. And I got there. And of course, everyone there is like, oh, well, you have perfect teeth. You're so pretty. Like, you're so smart.
You're not obviously a burnout.
Yeah. Like, you don't look like you have an issue. And I'm like, that's right. I don't. And, you know, within the first 7 days, you're not supposed to have access to anybody on the outside for good reason.
Yeah.
But I also have, my mom used to laugh because I used to say I have the gift of manipulation. I was able to manipulate the staff, and I got a hold of a phone. I called my husband, and the next day he was there to pick me up. Now, I know this is all in God's plan, because I don't know what would have happened had I stayed the entire 30 days. But I know that when he came to get me, that was when the real work in our marriage also began. And it was hard. It was hard. So I had, exercise was another way that I coped. And, you know, I grew up a dancer. I'm 5'5", really muscular. So I was always told, you know, you've got too much muscle. Well, when you dance the amount of hours I was dancing and you're only 5'5", you're going to build muscle, right?
Exactly. Yep.
And the only way I could get rid of that was to starve myself. So, you know,
one bondage to the next, right?
Exactly. And I just kept layering. I'm like, Michael, I am like, I have mastered the skill of layering it on.
I love your honesty. You're
I was so good.
I love it. No, that's, I mean, think about it. How many people, before you go on, how many people are unable to be transparent and to really look at, this is funny that you brought this up because it sounds almost like you're talking about the talk that Rachel did. Cause she said a lot of people, when they're broken, they yell at God and say, God, I'm over here.
Yeah.
Hey. And he says, no, I'm over here. You're right? Over there. Right. So yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. That's awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. We got to close the gap. And that eventually happened. But so when I came home, you know, I went back to exercising excessively. It was a way that I could punish myself if I were to eat. And I ended up blowing out both my elbows. So in November of 2015, not quite a month after I had the intervention, I had to have elbow surgery. And the doctor was adamant. She has to have, you know, Dilaudin. My husband's like, I don't want her to have it. You don't understand. She has an addiction. You know, she's just fresh out of rehab, didn't even complete the full term. And he was like, she'll never make it. She's got to have it. And he monitored it very well. The pain was excruciating. And, you know, one Sunday morning, things were bad. I mean, we were screaming and yelling at each other. And I just felt like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I don't have anything left. And the bottle was sitting on my nightstand. And I wanted to go to church. I just said, please just take me to church. That's all I want to do is go to church. And, you know, so I walked over to the pills and his back was to me. And I'm thinking, you know what? I can fix this. Like, I can take care of this where no one has to worry about me anymore. And I can allow them to walk into freedom that they deserve. So I took the bottle. There were 40 pills in the bottle and I threw it at him. And I said, I just fixed it. And he starts screaming, you know, what have you done? What have you done? And then my daughter comes running down the hallway and she's screaming, Mom, what have you done? And in that moment, I couldn't take it back. I had already swallowed. And I'm standing there looking at her sweet little face and I'm angry at him and I'm angry at God and I'm angry at myself. Like, how do you get to that point and no one notices how deep the pain is? And they rushed me to the hospital. And I remember being in the emergency room. And of course, when it's suicide, they don't let anybody around. I mean, you know, my husband was there, but they wouldn't let anybody else in. And the nurses are like, why would she think this is the answer? Look at her. She's so fit. She's so pretty. You know, what kind of person can be like that and think this is a good choice? And I could hear all of it, you know, and it's like, and I never fell asleep. And, you know,
I heard the devil's a liar, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just hear all the enemy just speaking all these lies to you over and over, right?
And his voice, unfortunately, far outweighed God's voice. And that was really sad for me because I always had a strong faith. You know, I was close to God, but
that's a difference. There's a difference, Mel. It's when people understand spiritual warfare that you were going through.
Yeah.
I've been through it myself. It's why I got it. If, for those of you that are listening, we're both really emotional here. So it's okay. Like, I'm crying. Yeah. She's crying. And for me, because people don't understand people, first of all, and then you can finish this. People don't understand spiritual warfare because if they don't know the Lord, they don't know the difference. They're just constantly, it's like being in God's permissible will and being in God's perfect will or being out of God's will, right? You have an option. You said it, you said you have free will, right? It's like when I was in spiritual warfare away from my spouse, I was chasing after another woman and doing my own thing and not being there for my wife when she was struggling with things for her past.
Yeah.
My pastor friend of mine said, you just need to cut the noose that the devil has around you and stop listening to the lies that he's telling you. And,
right.
And because they're not the truth. Right. Exactly, and so you had those same things going on in your head.
Exactly. Right. And not only were they going on in my head, it was like the devil was using all of these people that were present
100%.
To speak that over me too.
100%. So lies upon lies upon lies.
Yeah. Yep. And I couldn't hear the truth from God. I couldn't hear the truth from my daughters. I couldn't hear the truth from my husband. It smothered their voices. Like the volume, it was set at low and everything else was just, you know, and I couldn't hear it. And they had said that, you know, fortunately, she's an addict, because had she not been, she never would have survived this. I took enough Dilaudin to kill a 600-pound man, but I never fell asleep. So from there, I went into a behavioral center for suicide. And again, there, everybody's like, oh, why are you here? This, you don't have a problem.
More lies, right? More,
yeah.
More, the devil's, like, you know, the devil's just there, right there, trying to take you out.
And I remember my pastor calling and saying, like, how is Melanie doing? They're like, oh, she's great. She's helping everybody in here. Like, the stuff she is able to do with the other patients. And he was like, no, how is she doing? And that was the thing. Like, I used the gifts that God gave me to serve and to help other people to my detriment. Like, I was able to hide
put off your that. You're hiding behind your own issues. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done it.
We're so good at it, right?
It's easy. It's really
so
is.
Good at it.
If you really want to do it, it's really easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that second rock bottom was when Psalm 40 came through. You know, here I am in that dark, muddy pit, just sinking. And I'm crying out, and God reaches down and says, look up, child. And he sets me on solid ground. And from that day forward, I have been choosing to show up, dig in, and do the hard work every single day so I can continue rising up strong, because it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. But my husband and my kids loved me so much that they had enough fight for me as well until I developed the strength to fight too. And, you know, out of the suicide attempt, you know, my husband gave his life to Christ. Man. So that is a beautiful thing. And when I read back in my journals, years upon years, I prayed for that. And here, this was the pivotal moment that brought him to Christ. And as a result, you know, our marriage is healthy now. I am more in love with him now than I have ever been. Like, his man bod is incredibly sexy, and I just love every part of him. And you know what? Like, it takes growing and evolving to get to that point. And we just celebrated 26 years of marriage.
Yay. Congratulations.
And, you know, God restored me. He restored my husband. He restored my marriage. You know, the relationship with my kids, it's just, it's so beautiful. It's so incredibly beautiful. But we have got to be willing to be vulnerable, to be transparent, and share all the parts of our stories. And Rise for Women changed in August of 2019, when I invited a group of women, strangers, to my home for a book club. And that was the first time in my entire life that I stood up in front of a crowd, no filters, no modifications, no hiding, and I shared all of it. And I was so afraid to make eye contact because I assumed that what I had thought for years was actually going to come to fruition. But when I made eye contact, I saw compassion. I saw women who said, thank you. I see hope. I see light. I know that where I am is temporary because you went through it, and look at you now, and you can help me get there. And that has just been, that was a pivotal moment. And that's when it evolved from Rise for Women to She'll Rise. And our tagline is, if you believe in her, she'll rise. And it's got to start there. It's got to start with you believing in you and you trusting that God is going to keep his promises. But you got to do the work. You got to do the work. He will show up, but we've got to invite him into all the parts. He knows it all. We can't run. We can't hide from him. And I tried for years upon years upon years.
Don't we all?
But when we say, God, I'm inviting you in. I want you in all the parts of my life. Reveal my heart. Help me do this work. Help me persevere when it gets too hard. Make sure I have the right people around to carry me. And in the moment of doing that for myself, it was my kids. It was my husband. It was the pastor. I mean, it was good people. And then all of a sudden, the women just started coming. They just started coming. And it's, you know, if you look at my Instagram, you know, I do have professional pictures, but you know, the stuff that I say is authentic. And sometimes there's the real pictures where I've had the ugly cry in the bathroom, and I'll take a picture and post it because I want them to know that, yes, I'm here, but you got to continue doing the work. It takes practice. It takes diligence, obedience, and consistency every single day, because at any moment when you think you've got it all together, That is when you are weak and vulnerable and the enemy will strike. And I remember at one point when things were really bad, my husband said, when I look in her eyes, I see darkness. I see black. Her heart seems black. It's hard. It's cold. And that was a spiritual warfare. That's exactly what you were speaking about, Michael. He had a hold on me. And that's when my kids and my husband had to show up and fight. They loved me back to life. They fought for me until I built the strength within me to fight too. And now everything I do is because of God. It is for God. And I will never speak again and have anyone say, oh, are you a Christian? Because it is so obvious. It is who I am. It is whose I am. It is the core of my identity. It's where my core values come from. It's my driving force. It's my passion. It's the fire in my belly. And I can't deny it. I won't deny it, because if it wasn't for God, I would not be where I am.
Good for you.
So
why don't we go down this road? I felt like kind of from what you said, I wrote a couple notes. I told Melanie that I like to write notes when I've always went through seasons of this. Like I just sit and listen to them at night. And after we do them, my wife came up this morning. My wife is, for those of you listening that have never heard a little bit of my story, we had a coach steal about cost us in general, about $500,000, which was all of my wife's retirement. And in the midst of that, I heard the Holy Spirit say, it is well. And I was like, no, it's not. And I didn't mean to say that while you were drinking. I didn't mean to say that while you were drinking, but think about it. It's like the person saying, hey, God, it's over here. And God says, it is well. And you say, no, it's not. Right. But then he says, yes, it is. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I'm carrying you. Right. And so I think one thing that we lose, and this is something, and Melanie's probably gonna look at me like, what is he about to ask me? Right. Is that I think this is what we lose. We lose our identity.
Yeah.
And so, talk about that. Maybe talk about how, cause you were saying about how people, and one of the things I hear you talk about in some of the groups is about self-care, right? Like really understanding who you are, because somebody said it the other day, you know, you really have to understand who you are in Christ and who he is, right? Yes. Not just like who he is and then, oh, we have a relationship and, you know, it's like, we'll just shake hands as we go by or whatever that is for me. I want to know my identity. My friend Todd White, who's a pastor, my friend Theo Koulianis is pastoring his church now in Dallas, Texas, and they just opened it and it's exploding. And he's the most humble spoken person. And he always talks about, once you know your identity and who you are in God, then everything else is easier to do because your confidence is in it. It's like this. I got in, Mel, then I'll let you answer. It's just kind of funny thing. And I'm a Tampa Bay, but you can't see me on the other side of here. I'm a Buccaneers fan and we won the Super Bowl, right?
You sure did.
And so I had like these flags hanging yesterday when I was talking to people, and we did a leadership call last night. I actually have my Bucks.
Nice. Today.
And so my wife's best friend is a Packers fan, and my wife hates the Packers, right? So they're like this with the Packers. But here's the reason I want to bring this up. And I think you can see this in Tom Brady, like things that he's done, nobody else has done. And people's like, wow, he's just super cocky and blah, 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 blah. Right.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between cockiness and confidence. Correct. Right? And here's what I really liked about Tom is that, you know, people can criticize him about, you know, running and getting into it with Tyrann Mathieu during the game and like taunting him and stuff. And then he called him after the game and apologized. That's the difference between arrogance and pride and ego and really just confidence and just being in the game, being in the moment, right? Like if somebody says something about your spouse or your wife or somebody that you care about, your initial reaction is not always what's long-termly in your heart, right? Like what you're going to do or what you're going to say. You're like, oh, really? Like, and I have to be honest with you. I was going back and forth with my wife's best friend, and my wife says, honey, you're not really saying that to her, are you? And
I was, oh my gosh. Yeah. And that's so, when you got to pray, like, keep me saved. Keep me saved.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just, you know, and then I heard that yesterday on the radio, like he called him and said, hey, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have done that. I was in the heat of the moment. I was just excited. He did the same thing with Mahomes at halftime. He said, hey, let's talk. Right.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, not taunting him. He walked right over to him, you know, and then they asked him like, hey, are you coming back? And he didn't beat around the bush about it. He said, heck yeah, I'm 40 some years old and I'm playing at the top of my game. So right. His identity is not in what other people think.
Yep.
It's the confidence that he has in himself and who he is and what he's capable of doing. And I think sometimes we as believers can look at a non-believer and say, wow, somebody's been really pouring into him, though he may not be there. Somebody's really spoken into his life and really kind of mentored him through that. So maybe you can share a little bit about your identity, because I know you talk about it. I've heard you talk about it. And
yeah.
How important that is for someone like the women that you work with, or maybe a man, because it's funny you brought up you only work with women. I had only worked with men before, and now my wife's like, well, you have all these women that want to work with you, and they need help too. And a lot of them are unhealthier, more unhealthier than men. And we just need your help. It's not fair. And so we launched a program for women and stuff. So talk about that. Talk about that, the identity of and how important that is to success, I think, in every area of our life, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that needs to be transparent too. It's like I said, how I won't deny it. Like, this is who I am across the board, whether I'm talking to, you know, a cashier, a potential client, a cousin, like, it doesn't matter. It's consistent. What I find, and I have a younger daughter, she's 21, and I've seen her struggle with this too. Our identity is typically tied to roles and responsibilities. When that changes, we feel lost because it's wavering. It's dependent upon a people, place, or thing, and it's not sustainable. 100%. So when women come to me, and, you know, when, before COVID, when we did a lot of in-person events, which feels so foreign now, you know, they would introduce themselves and I would give them, you know, kind of the three things. And one of the questions would be, who are you? And they would stand up and they say, okay, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, you know, I'm a business owner, I'm an independent consultant. That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you what you do.
This is so good. I'm so glad you're going here.
I want to know who you are. And, you know, and I never broadcast about it being Christian influence, because God brings specific people to me for a reason. It may be a temporary season where I plant a seed and then they go off, but I've seen women come to Christ as a result of me allowing God to use me the way He's intended. And I will challenge them and say, who does God say you are? That is the truth. That is unwavering. It does not depend on any role or responsibility, no people, place, or thing. It is who you are every single day. And with my youngest daughter, you know, she was a soccer player. She was a student. She was a girlfriend. And, you know, she suffered several injuries and had to have surgery, so she couldn't play soccer anymore. And then with that, complications with school came. So she decided she was taking a break from school. And then there was a breakup. And then all of a sudden, I could see how lost she was. She wasn't a soccer player anymore. She wasn't a student anymore. She wasn't a girlfriend anymore. And, you know, during this whole COVID thing where there was quarantine taking place, it was actually an opportunity for my husband and I. God removed all the distractions so we could hear Him very clearly, because He had a plan. His Amen. Plan for us was to move to Florida. Whoop, the quarantine, whoop. Right? The quarantine allowed us to be intentionally still. He removed the distractions that we wouldn't remove on our own. And that's when a lot of things became very, very clear. Identity became very clear. Purpose became very clear. Direction became very clear. And it was all tied back to Him. It didn't have anything to do with COVID. It didn't have anything to do with our positions, our businesses, anything like that. And I think when you can make the shift from allowing the flesh, people, places, and things to define you, and you move into that space where God defines you, you focus on who God says you are, then limits are removed. Like, bondage is broken. Those links of chains that you've been adding year after year start to fall away.
100%.
Because they lose the grip. They lose the power. And, you know, when I talk about my daughters, Jenna, my oldest, had spoken at one of my events, and it was very emotional for me because she stood up there, because she's done a lot with my organization. And, you know, she said, my mom's story is also my story. And I was like, wow.
She was there with you through it. So she understands. Yeah, because it's funny when you say that, when I think about that, you just said it, like, how long it's been, how old she is. So she's been with it and watched every single step of it.
Yeah. And then my youngest, she up and moved to Florida with us. Now we helped her get her own place. She's not living with us, so she's super independent, but you know, she's had a lot of struggles. And, you know, of course we pray for our kids. We want what's best. Like, don't make those mistakes I did on. They're like, oh, let me make my own. And she is now at a point where she's seeing the work that God is doing. Like, things are falling into place for her, and she's Amen. Receptive. Her heart is open, and so many beautiful blessings. There's so much abundance just being poured out and covering her because she's worked hard to get to this point. And it makes me incredibly proud. So her identity is no longer about being a soccer player, a student, a girlfriend. She is learning that she is an independent, strong-willed, confident woman. And it doesn't matter who she's with or what she's doing, that's still in place because that's who God says she is. And I'm seeing this come into play with both of my girls. And then, of course, in my clients, I'm seeing it. So it's like, you know, the idea of the ripple effect, when you throw a stone, a small pebble into a pond and the ripples, like, that's what I'm seeing. You know, my willingness to be obedient and step out and take responsibility to share my story, that was the pebble being thrown. And now the ripple, and each ripple is covering a woman, and that woman's ripple. And it's just, it's amazing. But to see it happening in the lives of my daughters, in my own marriage, and then going outside of that is like, does it get any sweeter than that? I mean, wow. It's so nourishing. It is so incredibly nourishing, but I'm still humble. And, you know, every woman I encounter in that moment, she is the most important person in my life. And I want her to know that, because sometimes we need just one person to say, you know what, you are the most important person. And because I had people who were willing to do that for me, I'm turning around and I'm doing that for other women. And that's kind of the drive behind She'll Rise. Like, we choose to rise up, but then we turn around and we bring another woman with us because we're meant to be in community. We're meant to do life together. We're meant to share each other's struggles and carry each other's burdens. And, you know, a lot of times the first breath that we take that is an example of freedom is when we can share something that is heavy, and all of a sudden it's not so heavy anymore. So,
Amen. That's so good that you say that, because, you know, what I was thinking about, and maybe we can just talk about this a little bit, is, you know, restoration starts with forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. And I've heard you say this before once on a clubhouse one time. Those words exactly, like it, and I wrote notes down from, I pulled some of the notes out from the leadership talk the other day. And, my friend Rachel was talking about, you know, how to become a this is so funny. This is why I thought of you. She said, how to become a transformational leader, right? And she talked about, you know, three ways that you can do that. You know, be personal responsible, take control of you, mm-hmm. you know, understand that leadership's an inside job. You have to do things within, right? And then she said, you know, you have to raise the lid, right? You have to raise the lid. And then she said, you know, like, you have to lead yourself. You have to be a leader yourself, right? Yeah. She said, you have to continue to add value to people, and you have to make sure that people feel important.
Right.
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 And so talk about that. Talk about a little bit about how you build relationships with people that lead people in through this transformation, because you just said it. I think it starts with forgiveness and teaching women how to forgive themselves.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the restoration, because we just did a clubhouse last week, and it said, I titled it, like, the core topic was, when is it okay to let go? And then it was two stories of restoration from very different perspectives. So my story of restoration is my marriage being restored, like me being healthy, you know, my kids being healthy and moving in that direction. The other story, and she is also a godly woman led by Christ and so forth, hers, the letting go was of her marriage so that she could be restored, because it was abusive, it was unhealthy. But in order for her restoration to take place, she had to let go of many things. For my restoration to take place, I also had to let go. I had to let go of the anger, the resentment, the victim mentality, the placing blame, and I had to forgive. I had to accept responsibility. I had to actually sit with what I was feeling and understand, like, okay, not why is this happening to me, but how is God asking me to press in and then use this? That is the letting go that needs to take place so that the restoration, the healing, the overcoming, the rising up can happen. And getting to that point is, for many people, just seems impossible. It is too big of a mountain, but I'll tell you what, God can move mountains. He will move them time and time again. You invite him in, you ask for it, and then they show up with diligence, obedience, and consistency, and he will move those mountains. And that's when the work can be done. And when it comes to building relationships, even when I encounter strangers, and it's funny, when we first started looking down here in Fort Myers, we were in the flea market, and there's this beautiful pit bull, and I bent down to pet the dog. And then I started talking to the owners, and the woman said to me, she's like, there is something about you. I feel like I literally could tell you anything and you would help me with
divine
that.
Appointment.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm like, God, thank you. Like, thank you for using me that way. Thank you for everything that I've gone through that has brought me to a point where I don't think I'm better than because I'm here. I look at a woman, I'm like, you know what? I know exactly what you're feeling.
You're in the right place.
I see you. I hear you. I know you. And girl, I can promise you, this is temporary. You do the work, you invite him in, and on the other side of this circumstance is an abundance of freedom and relentless unconditional love and blessings and purpose and passion and fire.
It's a different voice, right, Mel?
Yeah, right?
It's a different, it's a different, I just saw this when you were talking. It's a different, I saw an old, that old dot of you from back when we first started talking about where you were hearing all of these voices and all of these things like, oh, she's not going to do this. And oh, why did she do this? And oh, she should do this too. Hey, I feel like I could tell you anything. I feel like, you know, yeah, you were meant to be here with me. I feel like, you know, the fruit of your labor is resonating with your kids and with your family. Wow. What a transformation, right?
Right. For sure. For sure.
I think that's so good. That's so good. Well, let's finish up with this. We'll just, why don't you, here's one of the things I like about Melanie is that, and I probably challenge her a little bit. She knows I do this, like in Warren rooms and stuff. She knows I challenge because she's the type of person that doesn't want to offend anybody or get anybody offended, right? And so tell us something that you feel God has impressed upon your on you this year, like either a word or something that you really want to focus on for 2021. Because I know you have some of those. I've heard you talk about it. Yeah. And something that you can lead us away that can really encourage and strengthen and give people. So kind of share with us as we head out.
Okay. So last year I prayed about my word, like the direction, like, God, what is it that you want from me in 2020? And the word that he gave me was expand. He wanted me to just broaden my horizon, reach more people, do more things like education and, you know, all of these things, expand. And I did. Then this year I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I'm like, okay, I've expanded. Now what? And what he put on my heart was depth. He's like, okay, now you've expanded like I've asked. Now it's time to go deep. I want you to go deep in your education. I want you to go deep in your relationships, deep in your business, your marriage, your parenting, all of these things go deep. And I used to think it was, you know, just one of those bandwagon kind of things like, oh, word for the year. But when I actually dug into it and prayed over it and really researched it from a biblical perspective, it gives you a theme. It gives you a focus. It helps you identify distractions and brings clarity. It gives you purpose. So one of our taglines is rise up and stay in your lane. You have a specific purpose, but if you don't have that word that gives you focus, you know, when something shiny comes along, you're like, oh, let me go over there. Oh, here's an opportunity. Oh, let me try this. And all of a sudden you're not in your lane anymore. So you're now deviating from your purpose. You're now being pulled away from where you can have the biggest impact. Rising up and staying in your lane means first you need to identify the lane spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. Those are your four journeys. Define them. look at your word for the year, pray about it, meditate on it, go to scripture, make sure it's rooted in truth, make sure it's in your gut, it's in your heart, it aligns with who God says you are and what he's calling you to do, and let it lead you. Let it help you understand when that is a distraction and you say no. When someone says, I need you, but you know that you are enabling, you say no. When someone says, I need your support, your help with this, and you know it goes against what you're being called to do, you say no. God doesn't say you can't say no. He says, choose your best yes. And your best yes is to respond with diligence, obedience, and consistency to what he's calling you to do. And this year for me, it's to go deep. And I pray that each woman has the opportunity to develop something like that so that her mindset will shift to first knowing where her true identity comes from. And then she gives herself permission to fail. She gives herself permission to experience what she's being called to do and embracing the process. You know, I mean, it's been 6 years. When you asked me how long ago that was, I'm like 2015. I'm like, what? That's 6 years. Like, it's been 6 years for me to get to the point that I am right now. And there's still a ton more growing and learning and so forth. Like, we're never done. But it took 6 years to get to this point. So I didn't get where I was overnight. And I'm certainly not going to get to where I'm supposed to be overnight. And when clients say, well, how long does this take? And I'm like, I can't answer that. How hard are you willing to work? How often are you willing to show up and be diligent, obedient, and consistent with your action? Because that's going to yield the sustainable results. That makes the difference. So, you know, leave this knowing that the world needs exactly who you are, right where you are in this moment. You don't have to change a thing. And I think society makes us think we have to be perfect in order to be needed. And that's crap. God says, you are exactly what I need to do this very specific purpose. Now I need you to respond. And when we step out and we respond from a place where we are fearlessly authentic in the truth of whose we are, the people will come. The people will come. They will receive you. They will respond you. They will crave you. But what we have to be very cautious of is when clients say, I don't know where I would be without you. I love hearing that comment from you, but know that God is using me. I'm the vehicle, but this is God working. It's not me working. It's me responding with obedience, but it's God working. And when you have the ability to recognize that and show up fearlessly authentic in the truth of who you are in him, it's a game changer. It's a pivotal moment in your life. And all of a sudden, everything you do changes. It changes. You, and it changes people, and it changes the world, and it will advance his kingdom.
Amen. Woo. Well, I appreciate that. Well said. Yeah. Why don't you do this? Why don't you just tell us kind of where people can connect with you? Obviously Clubhouse, and why don't you tell us a little bit more about how maybe somebody's listening today, like they do with my podcast, and they hear something that sparks and they want to connect more with you and know more. Maybe it's a female or a couple, whatever. How can they connect and find you?
So I'm on Instagram at Melanie_D_Wilson. And then also on Facebook, She'll Rise. Of course, on Clubhouse at Coach_Melanie. But I have a 12-week intensive program. So it's one-to-one coaching, takes place over 12 weeks. It is intense. That's why we call it an intensive. And there's a link in the bio on Instagram where they can fill out the application, and we have a darn good conversation because I guarantee results. So I won't take on every person that applies. It has to be a good fit, because if they're not willing to do the work, they won't see the results. And then I can't guarantee results anymore. So Instagram, Melanie_D_Wilson is a great place. You can DM me. The link in the bio will help you access the application to have a free call, email, text, Facebook, of course, Clubhouse, always looking for opportunities to step into battle with those women who are ready to break free and flourish. So
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. I love it. I love it. So if you're listening, you just heard where you can connect with Melanie. And the only way people get to listen to Melanie's story is if you share this podcast, right? Like if you go and do a 5-star review, which how could you not listen to this and not give a 5-star review? Let's just be real. We're transparent here, Mel and I. We don't do anything cookie cutter, right? It's you heard her say it's intense. Like I'm preparing for a 3-day event that I'm going to be doing with my friend Tim Story and my coach Israel Duran. We're going to do a 3-day intensive here in Florida, where it's going to be intense, and we're not going to take everybody, right? We're going to take a very small group of about 15 to 20 men and women. First one, we're going to do men, and then we're going to do a women one after that. My wife's going to do a women one. And maybe I'll have Melanie come and speak. So
let's do it.
Let's do it. So guys, thank you for listening to another session of the Heathfluence podcast. As I said, and I say this as we finish with every single podcast, love God, love people, and live with passion and a vision. Because the Bible says people perish for a lack of knowledge, right? And I believe they perish for a lack of vision, right? And then that's vision is matching up with God's plan and purpose for your life. So thanks for listening. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.